The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Today we start a brand new series. Did I mention there's this really cool book called Transformed? All right, if you don't know about that, you should get it. But today I want to lay down the foundation that will kind of establish a good foundation for the whole series. The key verse for the entire series is from Romans 12:2. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be what?" A little louder. "But be what?" "Transformed by the renewing of your mind." Exactly. A lot of times we think about, you know, I want to change some things in my life. And so a lot of times what we do is we try to change the way we act. It's been said, though, that if we simply try to change our actions, we won't really experience much change. If you want to change the way your actions, it's got to start with the basis of this verse, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The way we think will determine the way we feel. And the way we feel will determine the way we act. And so if we want to get to the key of transformation, it doesn't start with how our actions. It doesn't start with trying to change our feelings. It's got to start in the mind. It's got to start with the way we think about things. And we're going to look through 7 key areas of our life. And our hope is that God will help us to change the way we think about those areas of our life and put them in alignment with who He is and what He has for us. If we want to see this kind of change happen in our physical, spiritual, relational, mental, emotional, vocational, and financial area of our life, we've got to surrender our thought life to Jesus. The Bible says, "Take every thought captive and put it in obedience for the cause of Christ." And so our hope is as we dive into the series that we would start to memorize His Word. His Word brings life. And inside this journal, you're going to get scripture memory verses each week that will help you start to shape your mind. David said, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And we want to help you be able to develop some good spiritual habits, some good disciplines in your life to get yourself spiritually fit, physically fit, financially fit in all areas of your life in alignment with who God is and what He created you to be. And we're going to look today, we're going to start with the topic of spiritual growth. Spiritual health. There's a key statement that is in your notes, and I want to kind of linger there for a minute because if you read it quickly, you'll assume some things that aren't necessarily correct. The first statement that I want us to look at this morning, and if you've got notes, you can take notes in this nifty book, or you can look at your handout that I've made available for you. And the first statement in your handout this morning, it says, "The further away you get from God, the more your life is troubled." Now, you could quickly just go on and not think about that. I want to make sure you hear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. The second part of that verse is, the saying is, the closer you get to God, the more your life will be transformed. So the further you get away from God, does it say you're going to have more troubles? Is that what the statement says? The further you get away from God, you will have more troubles. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that. You know, the same amount of troubles are going to happen on the person who's walking with God or not with God. I mean, there are times when God will do what He can. The scriptures say that God disciplines those He loves. And so there will come the hand of God sometimes in our life. But what I want you to see here is that if we walk through life and the struggles and the trials and the temptations and the storms that are going to be there, if you're walking life alone, you're going to be troubled. If you're walking life not close to God, in the midst of those troubles, you're going to be troubled. But as if we learn through the series instead to draw close to God, when we go through those trials, when we go through those struggles, when we go through those storms, God will use those opportunities to transform us and make us be the person He wants us to be. Do you have that video clip, Mason? I think I want to play it right now. Some of you saw a video, a series. Couple seasons I loved. The show was called Lost. You saw it? I love some of the awesome stories there, and there was always like some way of connecting some spiritual truths. I don't know what happened to the writers at the end of the series, but anyway, If you're watching on Netflix, just stop like after season three, because it doesn't end well. But anyways, I want you to see this clip here.
Something wrong, Charlie?
Yeah. Jack. There's been an accident in the caves. Jack's trapped in a cave-in.
Is anyone trying to get him out?
Yeah, there's a bunch of people there now.
And why aren't you with them? You didn't come here to tell me about Jack, did you?
Oh, my stash, look. I can't stand feeling like this.
Come here. Let me show you something. What do you suppose is in that cocoon, Charlie?
No, a butterfly, I guess?
No, it's much more beautiful than that. That's a moth cocoon. It's ironic, butterflies get all the attention, but moths, they spin silk. They're stronger, they're faster.
That's wonderful, but...
You see this little hole? This moth's just about to emerge. It's in there right now, struggling. It's digging its way through the thick hide of the cocoon. Now, I could help it. Take my knife... Gently widen the opening, and the moth would be free. But it would be too weak to survive. Struggle is nature's way of strengthening it. Now, this is the second time you've asked me for your drugs back. Ask me again, and it's yours.
Give them to me.
This is the third time. Are you sure you really want it?
I've made my choice.
I'm proud of you, Charlie. Always knew you could do it.
What does that have to do with anything, huh? We want to help you in this process, but not help you too much so that it's too easy. You know, there are going to be storms in our life. And a lot of times God uses those storms and those trials and those struggles to make us strong for what we need to do, to depend on Him, to lean on Him, to get through the things that are coming later in life. And we're going to see some beautiful stories unfold. This morning we're going to look at a story from Luke chapter 15. It's one of the most famous stories. Jesus told it. It's a story that is often called the prodigal son or the loving father. And I want us to see the beauty of the transformation that can happen when we go through certain steps in our life. And if you listen closely, I think you'll be able to see yourself in this story in some ways. Let's take a look. Jesus told the story. He said, a man had two sons. The younger told his father, Dad, I want you to go ahead and give me my share of the estate. And I want it now. I don't want to wait till you die. So the father divided his wealth between the sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and left home to live in a distant land. Already the son was trying to get away from his father's way of life. He knew his father wouldn't approve of the way he was going to live and spend his money. So he ran to a distant land. And there he squandered the gift that he had been given. And he wasted his life and his money on wild parties and reckless living. About that time, all of his money ran out and a severe famine hit the land and he began to starve because he had nothing left. Now he's getting hungry. The only job that he could find was feeding swine on a farm. And he became so desperate and hungry that even the pig slop that he was feeding the swine looked good to him. No one would give him anything for his hunger. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "This is crazy. At my father's home, even the lowest paid workers eat well. Well, I'm far away from, and I'm dying from hunger." So he says in his mind, "I know what I'm going to do." And he puts together some thoughts and he says, I'm going to go ahead and return home to my father. And I'm humbly going to say, "Father, I know that I've sinned against God. And I know that I've sinned against you. I know I'm not worthy to be a part of this family any longer and no longer be called your son. But please, just make me one of your servants. Make me one who will work for you." He knew he had crushed his father's hopes and dreams. He knew he had wasted away all that was given to him. And so he said, "Dad, just let me work for you." With that attitude, he headed back home to his father. Now catch this. While the son was still a long distance away, he hadn't even got all the way back home yet, the father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, the father ran out to the son. And he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said, "Father, I've sinned against God and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to the servants, quieting up the son quickly, he said, "Quick, bring me the finest robe in our house and put it on him. And go get my signet ring, and I want you to put it on his finger, and I want you to get shoes and put them on his feet, and that calf we've been fattening up, I want you to roast it. We're going to celebrate with a feast of eating and drinking, for this child of mine who was distant and dead has now come back, and he is alive. He was lost, but now he's found." So the party began. Now, this is an awesome story. This is a story of the truth of us and our fallen nature, that each of us, when born, we are far and distant from God. We are living life our own way. There is sin in our lives, and we have to realize that there is something between us and God. This man may be like some of you. You've been close to God at some point, but you got what you wanted to get, and it was enough, and at a point you were unsatisfied, and so you went back off trying to live your own life. Regardless of where you are, whether you know who God is or whether you've drifted from God, I want you to hear from me today that there is always a way back. And God is sitting here. He's not distant. He's not gone off about his own thing. He is waiting for you like the loving father in that story. He is waiting for you to come back. And he wants to wrap his arms around you and pour the best of the best into your life to let you know just how much he loves you. And from this story, I want to quickly throw at you four things that I believe will give us the pattern and the pathway back to God. Again, if you don't know God as a loving father in your life, I believe that if you follow these steps, that you will see that God is there and he loves you. He has the most wonderful life that you could ever imagine, ready to give you, to live through you, to help you to get through those troubles, those storms in your life, and to help you be ready for what's next. Number one, it starts with, we've got to get fed up. We've got to realize that the life we're living, it's not going to satisfy us. It's not going to fulfill us. We've got to come to a point where we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. We got to get to a point where we look at our life and we say, you know what, I'm just too stressed out. I'm too lonely. I'm sick of the way I've been living. I'm too depressed. I'm overworked. I'm too busy. And I don't even like myself because I don't like the person I've become. When we get to that point, this is the point at which transformation can begin. When we look at the son in the story, in Luke 15, it says, he wasted it all. He had nothing left. He got desperate and hungry, and then he finally came to his senses. Are you there yet? Are you going through life that is hard, that is struggle? Are you ready to be fed up? You know, nothing in this 7-week series is going to happen unless you come to that place of realizing, you know what? There's at least one or two areas in my life that probably aren't right with God, that aren't at the best that they could be. And until you come to a point, you know, they say that the first step in solving a problem is admitting you have a problem. And I'm not saying you're the evilest of evil. I'm not saying that, I mean, the person next to you probably is a little worse, but each of us have some work that could be done. And we have to start with getting fed up with who we are. I said this in the first service, and I want to make it a little bit more clear. There are times when we're walking through life, and we need to realize that God is always trying to get our attention. He's a loving and pursuing God, and there may be times when God sends a little rain in your life to get your attention. And you kind of keep going, you keep going, and He sends a little bit more rain. Still not paying attention, we're going about life our own way, and eventually God, He'll send a storm. Why? It's not that He's trying to be an unloving, wrathful God that's fed up with you. Instead, He wants you to realize how much He loves you. And He loves you just the way you are. God loves you no matter how far you think you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what kind of things or choices you've made. God's love is unstoppable. His love is freely poured out to anyone who would receive it. But here's the thing. He loves you too much to leave you where He finds you. And He wants to get our attention. He wants to wake us up. He wants you to say, are you fed up yet trying to live life on your own? I didn't make you to live life on your own. I made you to live life in relationship with me. This young man, he got fed up. He got to a point of brokenness and he finally turned back to God. It's been said that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't what? You can't make him drink, but you know what you can do? You can salt his oats. You can make the horse thirsty. And God has a way of salting our oats at times. Are you feeling unsatisfied? Maybe God's beginning to salt your oats. God's wanting you to drink from the living water that He offers. Are you fed up? Jeremiah 29:13. This is the Message version. It's really beautifully put. It says this. God says, you will find me when you get serious about wanting to find me. And when you want it more than anything else in life. When you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Are you seeking God that way? Are you just kind of casually checking off a box? You know, I pray every once in a while. I attend church occasionally. I serve the poor. God wants you to get serious. And that's the first step of transformation. The first path step in the pathway back to God is to realize that we can't live life alone. We have to live life with Him. And we have to realize the second thing he realized here is that he had to own up. He got fed up and then he had to own up to his own sin. He got fed up and then he looked at his life and he said, you know what? This is pointless. In verse Luke 15, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, I have sinned against God and against you. Looking at the circumstances, the servants at my father's house eat better than this. I wasted everything. I came out and I decided to try to live life my own way, and I've just made a mess of things. He woke up. He came to his senses. He realized that living apart from his father, even not in the best of positions, if I could simply go back to my father and just be considered the lowliest of the low, maybe have the lowest servant position, at least there I would be better fed. It's insanity for us to think that we can live apart from our Father and have a fulfilling life. The one who knit you in your mother's womb wants to weave a tapestry of your life together. God was involved in forming you, but his involvement in your life didn't stop the day you were born. He's been with you every step of your life, waiting for you to realize your need for him. When he came to his senses, he said, I've gone my own way. I've been living on my own. I've sinned. I've sinned against God, and I've sinned against you, Father. In Isaiah 59:2, it says this. It says, your sins have separated you from God and have hidden his face from you. Have you ever prayed and felt like God was a million miles away? Have you ever prayed and felt like God's just not listening? I can't see you, God. I can't sense you, God. I don't feel you in my life. Why is that? Oftentimes, it's because we have this barrier in our life, this thing called sin. We are living for ourselves instead of living for the God who created us. We're living for our own purpose, our own goals in life, instead of the ones that he has established before we were even born. He had a purpose for each of us. We have to realize and own up to our sin, the things in our life that are entangling us, that are tripping us. As we're trying to run after God, there are things that are in the way, and we have to own up to them. David prayed this prayer. David is called a man after God's own heart in Scripture. And yet he got so full of pride and into himself that he took another man's wife, and after getting her pregnant, he had a plan made so that the husband would never find out, and he had that husband killed. A man after God's own heart, what is up with that? And yet, he went out, and in the time of being broken, God getting a hold of his life, he prayed out to God, and he said, God, I am a sinner. He said, be merciful to me, O God. Psalm 51, 1 through 4. It says, because of your constant love, God loves us even in the midst of our mistakes. He loves us even in the midst of our sin, our dirtiness, because of your constant love, because of your great mercy, wipe away my sins, wash away all my evil, and make me clean. I recognize my faults. There he is admitting, I know I'm a sinner, God. I know what I've done that is wrong, and I am conscious that I have sinned against you. Have you come to a point of saying, God, I know I'm fill in the blank. I know I've sinned in this way, God. I confess it to you. I'm sorry. And I'm willing to turn from it and turn back to you. Forgive me. What does the Lord do when we come to him? What did the father do? You saw in the story, right? The young man came back. And the father was like, well, I don't know if I can trust you yet, son. Is that what he said? Oh, son, that was a lot of money. You took half my inheritance and you blew it. Why don't you try and go pay me back, and then then we'll see if we can work something out. No, the father saw, even before he got to the house, the father, that tells me the father was waiting daily for this young man to turn back around and realize the love of the father never ended. It didn't end when he left to a distant land. The father's been waiting, and the father is waiting for you today. The moment you turn around, he is ready to wrap his arms around you and say, I've been here the whole time. When we come to him and we confess our sins, the scriptures tell us that he is faithful and just and will forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. It is our sins that Christ went to the cross, and he bore our sins upon the cross because of his love for us. And he said, as you come to me, though your sins be as scarlet, a deep, deep red, though in the whiteness of your life your sins have caused a stain, I will wipe them away as white as snow. Isaiah 1:18, the New Living Translation puts it like this. It says, the Lord says, no matter how deep the stain of your sin, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Friday, we woke up, Brandy and I. I thought my dog literally was dying. I walk out into the hallway, and there's, I want to be careful that I don't gross you out too much, but the house, the main level, there was blood everywhere. found my dog not even able to get off the ground. My brother and I, Gary, had to carry him. We took him to the vet. And in the process of him getting healthy, and he's good now, he's doing much better, the house, we literally were cleaning for close to 12 hours, trying to clean the whole house. And there's these white curtains that hang in our family room. Brandy was like, "We got to throw them away." I'm like, no, I think I can clean them. So I took them, I scrubbed them. Eventually I went and got the bleach and I poured bleach on them and nothing was working. And finally I just got fed up and there was nothing I could do and I just had to let it sit there and soak. And I walked away just cleaning other things. But later I came back and I pulled the white curtains out. And there was no evidence of stain at all. It was gone. That's what Christ is saying about us. When we come to Him, it doesn't matter how filthy our lives are, how messed up we think things are, He says no matter how deep the stain of sin in your life, I will wash you white as snow. I couldn't scrub that out. It had to sit there and soak and let the bleach agent work. And some of us, we need to just come to Christ. You can't get your life right and think, I got to get myself right first before I come to God. No, just come to Him and let His love soak in your life. And work out the brokenness in your life. He has a way of absorbing your sin upon Himself and pouring His love and His blood into your life and making you white as snow. You can circle that verse, Isaiah 1:18, and call that the OxyClean verse. In your group this week, you're going to learn 7 habits that will help you get closer to God. 7 habits that will help you learn to soak in His love and let His Holy Spirit fill every area of your life. But you're not going to get those 7 habits unless you do the study. So you got to do the study, okay? And I'm going to try. It's too good for if you. I know some of you can't make the study. We're going to try and find a way to put it up online or something. But we want you to dive in. But one thing I want to give you, on page 220 of this book, and again, I'll try to find a way, if we have copyright permission, to load it up online. There is a spiritual checkup that we need to do. We have to do physical checkups, right? In order to get life insurance a couple years ago, I had to get a checkup. That's the way they found that there was something wrong with me. And they found cancer in my neck. I had no idea. They got it so early that they were able to get rid of it. And there's been no trace of it. Thank you, Jesus. And in the same way, we need to do a checkup in our lives. It says this in 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourself and make sure that you're solid in the faith. Don't drift along in life taking everything for granted. Instead, give yourself regular what? Checkups. And if you find that you failed part of the test, then what? Do something about it. We need to practice this regularly. Each week we have communion here. The verse here in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians says this. It says, every time you come to take communion, we take a piece of bread, a symbol of what? God's body in the form of His Son broken for us. We dip it in this cup of juice as a symbol of the blood that He shed for us to forgive us of our sins. We can just do this each week without thinking of it. But instead, the scripture, the warning says this. The encouragement says this. Test yourself. He says, when we reflect, I'm reading the wrong verse. Here we go, 1 Corinthians 11:28. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. So I've encouraged you. And actually, I'm going to do it right now. As the band comes up, you guys can go ahead and get in place. I want you to start to think about the things we've been talking about this morning. In a minute, we're going to have communion. We're going to invite you to come up. But we don't want you just to, okay, it's communion time, let's go. You know, and do it. But instead, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Is there some area of your life that you need to get it fed up with? Is there some area of your life that you need to own up to? And then what do? When we realize that there is sin in our lives, we come and we offer ourselves up. We offer up. In Luke 15:1-15, we see this amazing transformation. The son starts off by saying, "God, Father, I want what's mine. Give me, give me, give me." And in the end, he comes back to the father and he's no longer saying, "Give me what's mine. I want back in the family." Instead, he is humbly coming to the father, broken. And he says, "Make me. Make me your servant." And that's the point at which God is trying to drive us to. A lot of times we go to God thinking, I want things better in my life. I want my marriage is a wreck. If I go to church enough, maybe if I pray enough, I'll check those boxes. I'll rub God's magic genie lamp the right way and he'll bless me with a miracle. We got to stop seeing God as someone we come to and say, "Give me, give me, give me." Instead, we come to God and say, "Forgive me. And now make me who you want me to be." We offer ourselves up. It says this in Romans 12:1, the verse before our key verse. It says, "Because of God's great mercy, offer yourselves up as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." When we realize that we should be fed up with the way we're living life, when we own up to the sin in our lives and we confess it to Him, we then offer ourselves up and we say, "God, take me as I am. I'm broken. And make me who you want me to be." And as we come to Him, we realize that He has the love shown by the Father in this story. When the Father saw the Son coming, He ran and He gave Him the best of the best. And Jesus is sitting here and He doesn't want us to be that stupid caterpillar or whatever it was in that cocoon, living life all trapped up. But He's here to make us and help us get through those seasons, get through those struggles, and to give us the strength that we need in order to become the transformed moth or butterfly that He wants us to be. Are you fed up with what you're trying to do in life and ready for the more that God has? Are you ready for the purpose that God has in your life, for the forgiveness that He offers? Are you needing to be washed white as snow and ready to come clean in the love and mercy of God? Then offer yourselves up. And as we come to Him with a heart of gratefulness. And the fourth thing we do is we lift up. We lift Him up. The Scriptures say that as we humble ourselves, He will lift us up. As we come to Him broken, as we come to Him ready, we say, "God, I thank you for dying on a cross for me. I thank you for loving me. Your mercy has no end. Thank you for making me white as snow. Thank you for your forgiveness. And every time I go out and I trip up and I mess up, thank you for giving me another chance and another chance. Come in and make me new." Let's pray. Father God, I pray for each and every person in this room. God, we're at different seasons and stages of our life, and in some way or another, all of us need your love and your transformation. I pray that we would get honest about our life. There are some areas of our life that we need to get fed up. We need to give up trying to do it on our own, and we need to own up to the things that are tripping us up, and we need to offer up ourselves to you, saying, "God, come into my life and make me new." And then we need to lift you up, saying, "God, thank you for being the God you are. Come in. Have your way with me." As we sit here, God, and think upon these things, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that if there's somebody here this morning that has never taken that first step, they would realize that you love them. If you're here this morning and you were the only person on this earth ever, God says, "I still would have given up my life for you. I still would have come just for you. I love you that much. You're not too far from me. I am standing right here. I want to wrap my loving arms around you. I want to forgive you. I want to make you new." And all you have to do is say, "Yes, Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. Forgive me. Help me to follow you." Father God, I pray for each person in here, that you would help us all to take these steps towards transformation, being made new in you. As our band leads us in a time of worship, I want you to think about these things. I want you to begin to reflect. And as you're ready, as you've said, "God, thank you for forgiving me my sin. Maybe there's somebody you need to pray with before you come up to receive communion. Our prayer teams will be up front with me and some in the back. If there's somebody in the room you need to go to and you say, you know what, will you pray with me? Maybe you need to do that first. Examine yourself before you come and receive communion. We have a couple stations in the front. We have a station in the back. But listen to God's voice and deal with Him first before you come. And then when you're ready, come and remember what He did for us and celebrate the new life that He wants to live through us now. Respond now as the Lord leads you.